This is CliffCentral.com.
I'm very happy to be sitting opposite two of South Africa's most famous and incredibly successful footballers, Teko Modise, Sphiwe Tshabalala. How are you, gentlemen?
Good evening, sir.
It's good to see you both. And it's great to see you in an environment where obviously you're very comfortable. Both of you spend a lot of time in the footballing community, on the field. You're sitting here with a bunch of young men, though, today to do something very different. We know that we're in a country where there's a tremendous gender-based violence problem. We know that there are a lot of young men who grow up without fathers. We know that there are lots of these young men who are looking for role models and who idolize the two of you. It's an incredible opportunity to be able to share with them your own insights and to be able to give them an environment where they can feel that they matter, that they've got self-esteem, that they can become the kinds of successes that you guys are. But why did you feel that you could make a difference here today? Teko?
I think, first of all, the biggest challenge that the young boys are having is everybody that gets successful in the hood, they always move out. So they don't come back actually to share their story. So these boys don't actually know how to actually, or probably maybe have somebody that they can look up to, or maybe even listen to their stories or get their stories as well. So most of the time, like, you end up choosing anybody that you see around and that you think that can be a role model, because of now the success in the location, the definition of success in the location is very different. So now you find a person that drives a flashy car that stays in the location, that's a successful person to you, then that automatically becomes a role model. What else? You people that actually had to go through certain stuff to actually persevere and make it in life, they don't come back to the wood and come back, actually say their story. So for us to get this opportunity to come here and share with the boys our stories as well, like you said earlier on, this is a place where we're very comfortable. We're from Soweto. So for us to come back here and share stories with the boys actually from Soweto, it's an opportunity for us, and we're happy to have it, because I feel like also when me and Spear, and probably maybe when we started, we never had an opportunity for guys that actually played before us to come and tell us what you expect, you know, in the game. And for us to be here, I think we privilege and we own it.
And Sphiwe, you're also a dad, so now you're starting to think about the things that maybe you haven't thought of since you were a young man.
Yeah,
and you're here around these young men, and in some way, you know, they're all looking for a dad as well to focus, to role model on. Some of them may have fathers who are very much in their lives, but a lot of young men in this country grow up without that. How does that make you feel in the context of this place?
I think, you know, first one is to commend APSA for, you know, coming up with such a great with initiative. You know, I think it's important to teach these youngsters at an early age. You know, I was grateful that I come from, a good family where I was raised by both my parents, you know, and most of them, you find that their fathers, they left them at an early age, but they managed to strive like Teko. You know, so it's important for us as boys who started in Soweto, in the township, who made it, and they're still humble, to, you know, come back again and advise these youngsters, because there are so many social issues that we face in the society, and it's important for us to give our stories to motivate them. Focus on the boy child, because most of the time is, you know, girl child. There's teenage pregnancy. No, it's always girls, but who make these girls pregnant? So this is very, you know, educational, and I'm looking forward to the day.
Well, it's interesting that in the workbook, which I looked through just now, they talk about things like self-esteem. I mean, Teko, you don't seem like someone who's ever struggled with self-esteem. You've got a huge amount of confidence, and that obviously comes from your incredible athletic prowess. But were you ever a shy young man who didn't know your place, who wasn't sure of your identity, who was worried about rejection? Because a lot of these guys look at you and they go, he's bulletproof. He doesn't seem to have any of the problems I have.
I was a shy person when I grew up, and I struggled fitting in because I moved around a lot around Soweto. So I was struggling to adjust, because Soweto, as much as it's this big, it's very diverse, with this very, very different cultures and different languages. And being born in Midlands, in a place where only Tswana was spoken, moving to Orlando where Zulu is popular, and speaking Zulu looks like you're cool. So I had to adjust to that. But for for that to happen, I needed to study or learn how to speak Zulu for me to adjust to that. But what made me confident was, the only time actually where I felt confident was when I was on the pitch. That's when I was playing football. That was the only place where I would feel confident. But other than that, I struggled a lot based on also how I grew up as well. So for me, my escape and my sanity was on the pitch, and that helped me a lot, because of once you get exposed into that level, now you get people that actually don't know who you are, where you're coming from. They telling you how you play. So also that actually boosts your ego just a bit. So from a young age, the only place where I felt like, you know, I fitted in and I belonged was on the pitch. But I can imagine these young boys, or the ones that are actually not playing sports, what do they use to as their sanity, as a place of peace? Sometimes I was fortunate enough that I chose sport, or sport chose me. And for them, you can imagine the challenges that they're facing. Some will probably maybe use drugs, some will probably use booze, or women for that matter. Mm-hmm. So some will use any escape for them too. So for us to be here is actually to try and make them understand there's so many ways that you can escape that, because the fatherless nation that we have, it's not something that's going to change today or tomorrow. But yet again, we fail to have so many role models that actually come and do such initiative in the hood, and actually try and encourage them as many times as possible, because we also don't want to be programming these kids into the fact that for you to survive, you need to be in sports. You know, so there's so many things that you can use to survive. You know, I think the best thing that we can tell them is actually to focus on school. But yet again, you in Soweto, most of the time you're in the environment where school is not a priority, because people that actually went to school, they end up chilling in the corners as well. So you end up struggling to find that balance whether school is important or not, because everybody that makes a little bit, they move out of Soweto. So we hardly have positive role models in Soweto. So we struggled as well as young boys. But then being given this opportunity to come here and actually let them understand that having a low self-esteem, it's not a taboo. It happens, you know. Not that we're here because we're bulletproof. We had to also overcome our fears and overcome our low self-esteem. So we used other different methods to overcome that. So I think it's important for us to actually let them know that.
Spiro, what kinds of things did you learn as a young man that you feel put you at an advantage going into life? Because there are, as Tego has just said, there's so many young men who grow up with bad role models, bad influences. They think that there's only one way out. And it seems to me like you kind of, if you're lucky, you're born to parents who have a better idea of what to do, and maybe they're more resources, and maybe they take more time with you, because it is hard. It's that for a lot of parents, they're just trying to provide. That's number one. Is there stuff that you remember as a kid that you learnt, and even later on when you were a teenager and then into adulthood, that your father especially taught you?
Yeah, I think, both my parents were very strict, and for me they were supportive since day one. You know, since I was playing amateur football under 10s, you know, they would make time, and I remember even on their wedding day, you know, I had to leave their wedding to go play a cup final, and then finish and come back. I think they gave me the most, important three things which I needed as a young star. They gave me love, their time, you know, and support. And a lot of people, they grew up without that. They're missing that, you know. I mean, it's sad when you read such crazy stories that a 12-year-old is pregnant, you know. These young boys, they don't go to school. You know, they other than to drugs, or they just, you know, turn criminals. And I think another factor is that we no longer have after school activities. You know, when you come back from school, you have four hours. It's a lot of time. You know, you can do so many things. But if we do have programs where these kids, when they leave school, either they do arts or they do whether it's training, but something that will keep them off the streets. And it mustn't keep them off the streets just for the sake of it or for good publicity, but something that they will learn from it, and they'll grow from it, and they'll also help the young ones that are coming, the next generations. I think that's the only way we can change the society and the perception as well, you know, that it's fine. my father is not there, then I can do wrong things. You know, we should try and eradicate that. You know, even if a child doesn't have a parent, but they must feel safe, they must feel important, you know, in the society. But it starts with you as an individual, you know, the self-discipline, the belief, and the dream. You don't stop dreaming. Whatever you face, you don't stop dreaming. You can't just wake up, you know, the next day you're successful. You know, it starts somewhere. You don't give up. Take inspiration from the next person.
Well, it's amazing to me that you guys have a unique ability here to get through to people because they look up to you in so many ways. But there's a lot of pressure attached to that. You know, you kind of, they expect you to be perfect.
Yeah.
And nobody is.
True.
I mean, like, we all make mistakes. We all fall down. We all do things that sometimes are not the best example. Mm. Do you feel extra pressure to have to be those perfect role models all the time?
Personally, for me, I not anymore. I used to feel pressure. I used to isolate myself and being scared to live my life because
and
I was
that's
scared.
No
of,
way to live.
Yeah, because I was scared to be judged. And then once I realized who I was and what I was, I started realizing that, you know, whatever I do, you know, whether I'm doing that or not, I'm still going to be judged anyway. So I might as well do the best that I can and appreciate life itself and appreciate, you know, the gift that was given to me, which was football at the time. So also with my story as well, I didn't feel ashamed. I wrote a book about my story. I didn't feel ashamed because I wanted to share. And I want people to understand also that going through all those things, it's human. You know,
it's
what counts is how you come out of them, you know. And for me, that was the message that I was trying to prove, that, you know, even though you see me playing football like this, like I had to go through certain things to actually make it to where I am. And there's other people that they might not go through the same things, but they need to understand that sometimes, you know, achieving your dream might take a little bit longer, but once you have it, it's the most beautiful thing. For me, instead, I became a professional footballer when I was 25. In the PSL, and yet I started very, very young, and I had to move around also to get
well,
recognition.
Well, you moved around, and every time you started a new team, you have to bond with those guys.
Exactly.
You have to reforge relationships.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like going to a new school every time.
Exactly. So they need to understand that, you know, sometimes your dream might take a little bit longer. Just because somebody that is next to you, he achieved his a little bit earlier, doesn't mean yours is not going to come.
Yeah, and people, you know? You can't compare yourself to other people.
Yeah, but that's the challenge.
If you guys do in football, it's going to kill you because you always, someone's always moving up and someone's always moving down.
Of course.
And you can't base your self-esteem on that stuff, right, Spiwe? How do you feel about the responsibility of being a role model? Tego said he used to be very worried about what people thought and being judged, and then that changed. How about you?
Yeah, I share the same sentiments with Tego. I mean, when you start, you know, being a professional player or being successful, you know, people love you, they look up to you, you know, you get so much attention, and sometimes you can be overwhelmed by that, you know, and people tend to forget that you are human, you make mistakes, and as well as an individual, you also put yourself under pressure and try to be perfect, you know, or which is not good. But as time goes on and then you become mature, then you realize that you're also human, you know, you make mistakes. And as much as you want to be perfect, you will not be perfect, you know. And the most important thing is to live, be yourself, and people, they follow that. You know, when you make a mistake, you acknowledge, you raise your hand, you take responsibility, and you move on. That's leadership. Because once you want to be perfect, then that's no longer you. You know, you're living a life that it's not you. So people should appreciate, should love you with your flaws.
Well, gentlemen, we love you with your flaws. The whole country loves you both. You continue to inspire us all. And I'm very glad that you could be part of this special day, because I think for these young men, this is going to be life-changing. For some of them, it might mean a little more or a little less, but to have you here gives it enormous weight and credibility. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.